Welcome to the Spring 2017 edition of Community Health, caring for you close to home. Provided by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. Do you feel good? Spring is on its way, which means summer is not far behind. With long days and warm evenings, it's a great time to create some fabulously fresh food and kickstart the exercise programme you've been thinking about all winter but haven't quite managed to begin. The Nordic Walkers in our I Feel Good feature certainly know how to flex those muscles in a thoroughly enjoyable way and get fit at the same time. Meanwhile, it's all too easy to describe something as inspirational, but there is no doubt that the work of some of the teams at Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust is just that. Just ask Mick Bush. Take, for example, the groundbreaking piece of research making a difference to laryngectomy patients, or the way that one team has revolutionised the way children with swallowing difficulties tackle food, or the collaboration between specialist nurses and teaching staff at a special school focusing on each child's own needs. You can hear about them all in this issue. Enjoy. From the editor, Faye Sinclair. 01622 211 947. Email faye.sinclair1@nhs.net. Our features. I love my life. Find out how one patient is benefiting from groundbreaking research. Let's get you home. Getting you home so you can recover faster. I feel good. Be inspired to get ready for summer. Food revolution. How tucking into food has become easier for students. We care every day. What makes our community nurses and healthcare assistants happy? Brave new life. Families begin again in historic barracks. You can read our magazine online, www.kentcht.nhs.uk/magazine. Request this magazine in audio, large print or a different format. Please phone 01622 211 940. Follow us on Facebook, Kent Community Health. Tweet us at NHS Kent CHFT or like us on LinkedIn. Advertise. If you would like to advertise in this magazine, please phone Charlotte Morgan on 01622 211 940. Write to us. Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. The Oast, Hermitage Court, Hermitage Lane, Barming, Maidstone, Kent ME16 9NT. The Team. Editor-in-Chief Julia Rogers, 01622 211 944. Email juliarogers1@nhs.net. News Editor Chloe Crouch. Designers Julie Bignall, Karen Kelly. Contributors Joe Traherne, Lewis King, Julia Park.
Your shout. We love it when you tell us what you think. There are many ways you can feedback to help us improve services or get involved. Amazing support after the death of our child. We've recently been involved with the Care of the Next Infant, CONI scheme, with health visitor Alice Buckland. This service has had such a positive impact on our lives since the death of our son George. Alice provided excellent emotional support and really understood our situation. We were given sleep apnea monitors to use with our daughters to assure us they were sleeping safely. We're not sure how we would have coped without them. Alice also arranged for us to have resuscitation training, and we were referred to a paediatrician for visits that we found extremely helpful. The effect of these interventions is that we are able to behave normally with our children, rather than constantly checking on them or taking them to the GP. This has made us better parents. Hannah and Tom Wilson, Maidstone. Nurse Michelle's assessment saves the day. I wanted to pass on my thanks to Michelle Graham, one of your community nurses, who went to a patient at Kimberley Residential Home. The patient had been put on an end-of-life care pathway, but Michelle assessed him as being able to swallow, having a chest infection and organised antibiotics from the GP. When I went to see him the next week, he was much improved. I went to see him again and he was sitting up in the lounge area with his family opening the Christmas presents he had been too unwell to open before. Naturally, his family are delighted at his improvement. I think it's safe to say Michelle's assessment and actions saved his life. Jessica Willits, paramedic practitioner, Herne Bay GP Federation. Is Abby our biggest fan? Avid reader Abby Park, 6, picked up a copy of our magazine at her local pharmacy. Abby, a keen gymnast from Sevenoaks, loves her dog Max and never misses an issue of Community Health. Post pictures of either yourself or friends or family reading Community Health on our Twitter or Facebook pages, and you might just win a KCHFT goodie bag. Search for Kent Community Health and use hashtag MyComHealth so we can easily spot you. Get involved. Want to have your say? Contact our customer care team. Phone 0300 123 1807 or text 07899 903499 or email kcht.cct@nhs.net. Want to volunteer for us? Want to help out? To find out more about volunteering with us, contact Maria on 01474 360 508 or email maria.swarby, that's SWABY, at kentcht.nhs.uk or Caroline on 01795 418 300 or email caroline.wheeler at kentcht.nhs.uk. Want to become a member? If you'd like to become a member of our trust, visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/FT and fill in the online form. You can also phone 01233 667 827 or email kcht.membership@nhs.net to request a membership form.
Community Health News. Waitless. App aims to cut waiting times at A&E. A smartphone app designed to reduce waiting times at accident and emergency departments in East Kent has been used more than 55,000 times since its launch. The Waitless app combines live waiting times at all urgent care centres with up-to-the-minute travel information. The idea is to help people decide which urgent care centre to head to for faster treatment for minor injuries. Dr. John Ribchester, clinical lead for the Encompass MCP, which commissioned the app, came up with the idea after seeing a similar app in Valencia, Spain. He realised that by using a combination of waiting times and travel times, they could direct people to the best place for faster treatment and reduce pressure on A&E. He said, "When people sustain an injury such as a cut that needs stitching or a nasty sprain, they often simply head to the nearest A&E department. What many people don't realise is that a lot of minor injuries can be dealt with at several places in East Kent, not just our major hospitals. Waitless can direct people with not-so-serious conditions to alternative sites where they can be treated faster, which in turn will help to reduce the pressure on our A&E departments. This is the first app of its kind in the UK to combine waiting and travel times, which as we know can be unpredictable in Kent. We hope to be able to extend the app to the rest of Kent and other areas soon." The Waitless app is free to download from the App Store and Google Play. The app, which has been downloaded 9,000 times, was developed by Transforming Systems and funded by the Encompass MCP, a group of 13 medical practices in Whitstable, Faversham, Canterbury, Ashe and Sandwich, part of the NHS Vanguard project. Health Help Now. Don't forget that if you need help fast, but it is not an emergency, you can use web-based app Health Help Now, which aims to help people find the right service for their health needs. It lists common symptoms and offers suggestions for treatment. It is free and can be downloaded on Apple and Android devices. Rugby Club Helps NHS. A film crew descended on Canterbury Rugby Club, CRFC, to shoot some scenes for a promotional video for the Weightless app. Visitors to the club were surprised to see a player with a nasty facial injury, but the player in question was actor Ben Roddy in the role of Jim, a hapless rugby enthusiast who takes a hit to the nose and ends up in a minor injury unit. Canterbury RFC players acted as extras in the scene where the injury happens. Chairman of the supporters club at CRFC, Mark Austin, said, "As a community club, there was no question about working with this local initiative from the NHS in Kent. By offering this alternative for minor and non-urgent cases, hopefully the NHS can more effectively target its resources for emergencies." Patients hot-footed to mobile podiatry. It is now easier for people in Maidstone and Morling to receive foot care thanks to the introduction of a new mobile unit. Our service offers routine appointments from the large white van, which is based in the car park at Morrison's supermarket in Larkfield, or the Tesco Extra in Aylesford for one day each week. Patients who have more complex podiatry needs will receive their care at our specialist clinic in Foster Street, Maidstone. For 66-year-old retired doctor's receptionist Linda Valance, who lives in Larkfield, the clinic could not be more convenient. "I have been a podiatry patient for 3 years because I have type 2 diabetes," she said. "I have an appointment every 4 months to check the health of my feet. It's a very good service, and having the unit at Morrison's makes it so close to home and so easy." Head of Podiatry Services Emma Young said, "The mobile clinic provides state-of-the-art facilities to meet our patients' needs." The unit was officially opened by Emma, podiatrist Arthur Okoye, locality clinical manager Fiona Moffat, and KCHFT's Director of Workforce, Organisational Development and Communications Louise Norris. Louise said, "I'm so impressed with how modern and well-equipped these units are. It's an excellent way for our skilled healthcare professionals to be able to deliver a high-quality service to patients in their own community. We know the people who use our healthcare services prefer to have their treatment closer to home, and it also fits in with the national drive to transform services for local people." Do you like the idea of driving the mobile unit and would like some part-time work? The team is keen to employ another driver to support this innovative service. To find out more details about how you can join the team, go to www.kentcht.nhs.uk/jobs and search podiatry. Change in name for children's services. Our children's integrated therapies and care coordination team and our children's speech and language therapy teams share a new name from the 1st of April. Children's Therapy Service. The change has come about to make things as simple as possible for patients and to reflect a change in management structure. You can find out more about the Children's Therapy Service at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/services. Changes to podiatry referral criteria. Working with East Kent Clinical Commissioning Groups, Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust Podiatry Service has made some further changes to referral criteria for patients in the area. Patients have been notified of the new eligibility criteria for some conditions, but you can also find out if these changes are likely to affect you by phoning 0300 123 6756 or visiting www.kentcht.nhs.uk/podiatry. Health Shop opens in Town Centre. Are you ready for the Booth of Truth? It's a new tool that is part of a great partnership to open One You, a health shop in Ashford Town Centre. KCHFT has joined forces with Ashford Borough Council and Kent County Council's public health team to open the venture. It allows us to bring all our health improvement services under one roof, so people can pop in and get a free NHS health check or health MOT, as well as take part in interactive games. One You offers a friendly and welcoming environment where people are encouraged to ask questions and take advantage of the free health services on offer. Visitors can either drop in or arrange a scheduled appointment. Services include stop smoking support, healthy weight advice for adults and children, on-the-spot blood pressure checks, a weigh-in service, plus support and advice on a range of lifestyle issues. People can guess how much sugar is in everyday drinks, adorn a fat suit to experience in carrying around extra weight, and much more. There is a booth of truth installed in the shop where you can find out your true weight and total body fat in private, and then receive on-the-spot advice about how to reach and maintain a healthy weight if you are worried. Reminiscing about the past. Vintage photographs, dominoes and Victorian chamber pots were the order of the day at Faversham Cottage Hospital, as a ward invited patients to reminisce about their younger days. Led by our specialist dementia nurses, the idea was to stimulate and encourage patients on the cottage ward to chat about their past. The day was aimed at patients with memory issues or those struggling with being away from home, and included activities such as dominoes. Vintage items encouraged patients to remember things they would have used and seen when they were younger. Patient Maureen Reed, 82, was in hospital after a nasty fall led to a broken ankle. She said, "I particularly like the butter patters. I remember my mother making butter with something similar when I was younger. I wasn't so fond of the chamber pot, though. They can keep those in the past." Cottage ward manager Deborah Pythian said, "It was an excellent day. It makes our job better when we know our patients are happy." Dementia nurse Rebecca Clayton Higgins said, "It is important as we get older to continue to stimulate our minds and memories." Helping patients to breathe easy. Equipment to support patients with lung disease has been given to grateful nurses by Canterbury Breathe Easy Support Group. Respiratory nurse specialists Sheila McCrossan and Rebecca Bunn from Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust were presented with the in-check devices by Chairman Jim Harris and Treasurer Linda Hurst. The equipment will support the nurses to accurately measure how well a patient breathes in, enabling them to make sure the patient is using the correct inhaler device for their condition.
News nuggets. What you might have missed. Public consultation helps decide future of healthcare. You can share your views on the future of health services in Edenbridge and the surrounding area in a consultation running until Wednesday, the 26th of April. West Kent Clinical Commissioning Group, CCG, in partnership with Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust and Edenbridge Medical Practice, wants to know what you, your family and friends, think of plans about four potential options for a new combined hospital and GP surgery in the area. Consultation documents, a survey and information about the plans can be found on West Kent CCG's website, www.westkentccg.nhs.uk/Edenbridge Future. You can find out more at a public event on Tuesday, the 25th of April, 6:30 to 8:30 at Edenbridge Leisure Centre, Stangrove Park, or by emailing engagement.secsu@nhs.net. Nominate your KCHFT hero. Every year we like to take the time to thank and congratulate our colleagues who have proven to be true heroes. Whether it's a dedicated nurse, therapist, support worker or healthcare assistant, we want to take a moment to celebrate these amazing people who make our trust such a caring and compassionate organisation. If you have been cared for by someone at KCHFT who has gone the extra mile and provided you with outstanding care, we would like to hear about it. You can nominate your KCHFT hero by emailing comsteam@kentcht.nhs.uk by Friday, 28th of April. Tell us who you would like to nominate and why, and we will enter them into this year's staff awards. We will announce the winner in a future issue of Community Health. Never a better time to be part of community care. Dr. Sarah Phillips will join Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust as Medical Director in April. Sarah is Clinical Chair for Canterbury and Coastal Clinical Commissioning Group and has a wealth of experience as a GP in East Kent, Commissioner and Chair of the East Kent Strategy Board. She said, "I'm very excited to take the helm as Medical Director at KCHFT. as it plays a pivotal role in transforming NHS care locally. It's never been a better time to be part of community care, as health and social care strive to work better together for our patients and meet the challenges ahead. The mum of two from Wye near Ashford is currently a GP partner at Newton Place Surgery in Faversham and clinical co-chair of the Kent and Medway Sustainability and Transformation Plan Clinical Board. Paul Bentley, KCHFT Chief Executive, said, "I am delighted to welcome Sarah to KCHFT. She brings her clinical leadership and expertise, both as a GP and clinical chair. She also lives the values of a commitment to patients and partnerships, which are central to the future of the Trust." NHS experience for passionate Pippa. Former district nurse Pippa Barber has been appointed as non-executive director to join KCHFT's board. The mother of two from East Kent has more than 30 years' experience in the NHS and is passionate about community services. She has spent 14 years in various board roles, most recently as Executive Director of Nursing and Governance at Kent and Medway NHS and Social Care Partnership Trust and Executive Nurse at NHS Medway. Can we do this? Yes, we can. We have an important mission for you. Are you ready for it? Good. We need you. Simple as that. Without you, our bid to create a wonderfully fully equipped children's sensory room won't happen. Let's reach our target. The story so far. Our charity, iCare, has committed to raising enough cash to pay for a sensory room for our children's therapies team in Coxheath, Maidstone. We hope that you can give us your passion, time and energy and join in with the appeal. Perhaps you could organise and deliver a fundraising event, or maybe you just want to donate. We want to help children like Edie. When one-year-old Edie Hughes was diagnosed with quadriplegic cerebral palsy at just 5 days old, the news was a devastating blow for Mum Marianne and Dad Daniel, who live in Oakwood Park, Maidstone, with Edie and their older daughter Matty, five. Marianne recalled, "Edie arrived on her due date, but she had stopped moving in the womb, so I had an emergency C-section. She had had a fetal maternal hemorrhage, where her blood supply travelled out of her body and back up the umbilical cord. She needed 3 blood transfusions and spent 4 days on a life support machine. She suffered brain damage because of the blood loss, which resulted in cerebral palsy. We never in a million years imagined that something like this could happen to us." Marianne and Daniel were originally told their precious second daughter would be unlikely to be able to do anything at all. However, when her family and friends celebrated her first birthday in December 2016, smiling Edie was making incredible progress. "We were referred to the KCHFT Children's Therapies team at Coxheath soon after Edie's diagnosis," said Marianne. "At the first appointment, we saw our key worker, Natalie Day, and met the whole team. They worked out a therapy plan to help Edie. She also has hydrotherapy sessions at Preston Hall in Maidstone." Marianne believes Edie's progress would be assisted by having a sensory room at the Heathside Clinic, where the family go for a weekly therapy session. "At the moment, we travel to Gillingham once a month to use the sensory room at Woodlands School. It's a wonderful space and you can really tell that Edie benefits from it, as it's such a calming, immersive environment. Her favourite piece of equipment is the bubble tube. If we didn't use it, I know that Edie wouldn't be doing so well, or be at the stage she is now. If we could use a sensory room once a week at Heathside, I know that Edie would benefit. She's almost able to sit up now, and when that happens, there will be no stopping her, as she'll be able to interact with the equipment more easily." You can donate via Just Giving Here or by texting SENS09 £5 or SENS09 £10 to 700 70. Want to get involved? Phone 01233 667 827 or email kchft.charity@nhs.net or visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/icare.
Ask the experts. Something you need a little bit of advice about. Our team of experts can answer all your questions. The Epilepsy Enigma. Our experts. Andy Smith. Andy, who is an epilepsy specialist nurse, originally trained as a learning disabilities nurse and moved into epilepsy nursing 12 years ago because he is fascinated by the brain. Andy trained as a nurse in 1990 and has been working in the NHS ever since. Sean Seal is an epilepsy specialist nurse. He started his career as a community learning disability nurse. His particular interest in epilepsy led him to complete a diploma in epilepsy care in 1998. In 2005, he completed a BSc honours in epilepsy. Sean joined us in 2008 and is passionate about supporting people with epilepsy to live well. 50,000 people in the UK live with epilepsy. Epilepsy may be a bit of a mystery to a lot of us. If you do not live with the condition, chances are you could know someone who does. Would you know how to help someone if they were having a seizure? Here, two of our epilepsy specialists explain the condition and what it means for the 1 in 100 of us who live with it. What is epilepsy? Andy, epilepsy affects the brain and causes repeated seizures. It is not just one condition, but a group of many different conditions or epilepsies with one thing in common: a tendency to have seizures that start in the brain. Our brain functions by sending messages in the form of electrical impulses. A seizure is when unusual electrical activity takes place. Where in the brain it happens and how much of the brain is affected determines the impact of the seizure. What happens with a seizure? Andy, if the whole brain is affected by the unusual electrical activity, the person will lose consciousness. A more minor seizure would be where the electrical activity is focused in a smaller area of the brain. The individual may experience impaired consciousness, confusion, vagueness, and their motor skills and speech may be affected. The individual will probably not remember what happened to them during their seizure, but it can be a frightening experience for anyone who is with them. Who is affected by epilepsy? Sean. There are about 500,000 people in the UK who live with a type of epilepsy. Epilepsy can be caused by structural differences in the brain, for example, in someone who has had a stroke, tumour, brain injury, or someone who may have a learning disability where the structure of the brain is affected. Epilepsy can also be genetic. Most new cases occur in young children whose brains are developing, or in older people who may be experiencing changes as the brain becomes less efficient. It is important to remember that it's not just the individual who is affected, but also their loved ones, family and friends. That's where our team can step in and support patients and their families. How does the epilepsy nursing team emotionally support people with the condition? Andy, people are referred to our service if they have been diagnosed with epilepsy by a neurologist or a GP. We look at how the condition is affecting their life, both physically and mentally. Often people come to us feeling very anxious and as if they have lost some control. There is a prevalence of high anxiety and low mood for people with epilepsy, and they are sometimes afraid of if and when they will have their next seizure. What practical solutions does the team provide? Andy, we work hard to help people talk about their fears. We provide detailed advice which also supports the person's family on how to manage the seizures. The team can prescribe and review medication, which helps individuals manage their condition. We review this on a regular basis with the patient and work closely with the neurologist to make sure they have regular access to specialist epilepsy healthcare professionals. Between appointments, we are also available for our patients via phone consultations. These help to avoid difficult situations from getting worse before their next appointment. What results do you see? Andy, up to 70% of people can control their epilepsy with medication. For all patients, we strive to help them reduce seizures, or as we call it, achieve seizure freedom. In some cases, seizures can't be completely controlled, but we can give people the skills and confidence to manage their epilepsy. It comes down to the individual making the right choice to support their health and well-being, such as lowering their stress, getting enough sleep, minimising their alcohol intake, and generally choosing a healthy lifestyle. It's rewarding when we see patients able to take back control of their life and managing their condition well. How can I help if someone is having a seizure? Sean, although it can be frightening to see, a convulsive seizure, where someone shakes and jerks, also known as a tonic-clonic seizure, is not usually a medical emergency. Once the convulsions have stopped, the person recovers and their breathing goes back to normal. 1. Stay calm. 2. Look around. Is the person in a dangerous place? If not, don't move them. Move objects like furniture away from them. 3. Note the time the seizure starts. 4. Stay with them. If they don't collapse but seem blank or confused, gently guide them away from any danger. Speak quietly and calmly. 5. Cushion their head with something soft if they have collapsed to the ground. 6. Don't hold them down. 7. Don't put anything in their mouth. 8. Check the time again. If a convulsive seizure doesn't stop after 5 minutes, dial 999. 9. After the seizure has stopped, put them in the recovery position and check their breathing is returning to normal. Gently check their mouth to see that nothing is blocking the airway, such as food or false teeth. If their breathing sounds difficult after the seizure has stopped, dial 999. 10. Stay with them until they are fully recovered. If they are injured or the seizure lasts for 5 minutes or more, or if they have another seizure without recovering fully from the first seizure, dial 999. Reference Epilepsy Society First Aid for Seizure Leaflet, 2017. Need more advice? Visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/epilepsy.
I love my life. A groundbreaking piece of joint research is making an enormous difference to laryngectomy patients who use a voice prosthesis, as Chloe Crouch found out. Cancer treatments have come a long way over the past 50 years, but for many survivors, the cost of fighting the disease permanently transforms their body. For people diagnosed with laryngeal cancer, the price they pay includes a laryngectomy, where the larynx, commonly known as the voice box, is surgically removed. This doesn't just affect their ability to speak, but also how they breathe, eat and drink. After surgery, many patients choose to be fitted with a sophisticated plastic device known as a voice prosthesis, which sits in the throat where the larynx was, behind the entrance of the windpipe. It means patients are able to safely eat and drink again and produce sound. They learn to breathe through a stoma, the opening at the front of the neck, and they have to cover this hole every time they want to speak. At the back of the voice prosthesis is a one-way valve or flap. It is designed to stay closed when people eat and drink to make sure nothing swallowed is caught in the prosthesis, travelling down into the windpipe. It can be incredibly dangerous if this happens and can lead to infection, choking and in some cases death. The prosthesis lasts about 6 months before it needs replacing. However, in some patients, it can become a breeding ground for candida, a fungal infection, which affects its performance. Highly specialist speech and language therapist Layla Williams explained, "Candida can thrive on a voice prosthesis because of the abundance of carbon dioxide when we exhale. The infection grows and spreads on the prosthesis in plaques. They build up like rough barnacles on a ship. Once this growth takes over, the candida can prevent the valve at the back of the prosthesis from closing. This is when patients are at risk of food or drink entering their airway. Where we would normally expect a prosthesis to last about 6 months, in some patients we were having to change them monthly due to the candida infection putting them at risk of choking. It's a simple procedure, but really inconvenient for patients to have to be coming back so frequently, not to mention the risk it poses to their health. Working with colleagues at East Kent Hospital's University NHS Foundation Trust and the University of Kent, Leila embarked on a 5-year research study to develop a protocol that could prevent and treat the candida from taking hold and spreading. The study found a combination of a short course of oral anti-candida medication to treat any existing infection, combined with ongoing daily application of anti-candida medication by the patient directly on their prosthesis, had impressive results. Leila said, "We have identified anti-candida medications to determine the best results depending on the individual patient, and we are thrilled with the results." The programme has seen the average life expectancy of a prosthesis rise from around 4 weeks to 17, and in some cases as long as 14 months. It was a collaborative project using joint expertise. It is having such a positive effect on patients. It's not just improving their care, but also involving them in their care, as they are able to manage the upkeep of their prosthesis at home. One patient who has benefited is 74-year-old Mick Bush. The retired Air Force man from Ramsgate said, "I shouldn't really be here. I've had cancer 3 times and survived 40 years in the RAF. I'm a very lucky man." 17 years ago, Mick, who is a proud grandfather and spends his days as a groundsman for his beloved local cricket club, was diagnosed with laryngeal cancer. "I knew there was something wrong as I had a terrible pain when I swallowed," said Mick. Within days of his first doctor's appointment, he was rushed to a specialist and had a laryngectomy. Soon after, he was fitted with a voice prosthesis. "I was speaking through the prosthesis almost immediately. I've been very lucky with all the help and medical support I've had." Mick was referred to Leila's caseload in 2010, and she soon noticed that he was struggling with how candida was affecting his voice prosthesis. She said, "There are no symptoms of having the candida on a voice prosthesis, but Mick would quickly start to notice that fluid would seep through the valve and cause him to cough. The infection was fast growing, and at one point we had to change his prosthesis after only 3 weeks. Mick started on the candida protocol, and he was soon noticing the difference. He said, "Every morning I gently brushed a little bit of medication around the inside of my prosthesis. It was really easy to manage. Having to have the prosthesis change so much was a real pain, as my throat is so sensitive that it would really make me cough. The longer I can make them last, the better." Since his initial diagnosis, Mick has also battled esophageal and prostate cancer. "The care I have received has been out of this world, and because of people like Leila, I absolutely love my life." Laryngeal cancer. There are about 2,400 new cases of laryngeal cancer every year in the UK. The condition is more common in people over the age of 60, and it's 4 times more common in men than women. Causes of laryngeal cancer include smoking, regularly drinking large amounts of alcohol, having a family history of head and neck cancer, having an unhealthy diet, and exposure to certain chemicals and substances, such as asbestos and coal dust. Find out more on www.nhs.uk. Search for larynx.
Let's get you home. None of us like being in hospital, and the faster we get you home, the quicker you will recover. At any one time in Kent, 1 in 3 people in acute hospital beds are well enough to go home if the right support is in place. Julia Rogers found out about a new scheme doing just that. Just days after being referred to Tunbridge Cottage Hospital with a broken hip, the rehabilitation team had Michael Goddard standing tall. 3 weeks later, the 59-year-old ex-mechanic was back at home with wife Vicky and retrievers Buzz and Rocket, and contemplating sneaking back into his garage to start on a project to build a Mark 1 Escort from scratch. What's even more remarkable about Michael's recovery is that he also faces a daily battle against multiple sclerosis, MS, which causes spasticity in his legs and deteriorating eyesight. Michael, who was diagnosed with MS shortly after turning 50, broke his hip after tripping on the way to tackle the washing up just a few days before Christmas. Unable to stand, he dragged himself to a chair and patiently waited for 5 hours for Vicky, a dental hygienist, to come home. A 999 call, a trip to Tunbridge Wells Hospital at Pembrey and an X-ray revealed Michael's broken hip. This meant a two-week hospital stay, after which he was referred to an 8-bed ward at Tunbridge Hospital, where intensive rehabilitation could begin to get him home. What's different about this rehabilitation ward is that it isn't run by nurses, but by therapists. It is part of our new Home First scheme to get people fit, well and home as soon as possible. While our acute hospitals, such as those in Canterbury, Ashford, Margate, Pembrey, Maidstone and Medway, provide exceptional care when you're seriously unwell or injured, once you are medically fit, you recover better at home. Senior physiotherapist Tamim Khan explained, "While we all think that when we're seriously unwell or injured, an acute hospital is the best place we can be, once we are well, we recover much better at home. The longer we stay in our hospital bed, the weaker our muscles get and the harder it is for us to regain our independence. Research shows 10 days in hospital is equivalent to 10 years ageing of our muscles. That's why our acute and community hospitals and community teams work hard to get you up, about, moving and back home as soon as you are well enough, supporting you every step of the way. Under Home First, hospital staff discharge patients by calling one number, which triggers the Home First team into action to make sure the right support is in place. If you are well enough to go home, you'll be met within hours to make sure you are safe and have everything you need. Later, you'll be fully assessed for further rehabilitation by one of the Home First team. The team is made up of community nurses, therapists and social care professionals. They work closely with voluntary organisations like Age UK. Every patient has a personal care plan and this may include therapy, goals, support for carers, any equipment they may need and self-help advice. For patients unable to manage at home, short-term rehabilitation can be provided in a community hospital, which was where Michael was transferred to, or a nursing home if you need more support. On arriving at Tunbridge, Michael was asked what he wanted to achieve and set short and long-term goals. Michael said, "Before my fall, I was walking with crutches, so I really did want to be able to walk again. My view is use it or lose it, and I'm not ready to give in to my MS. The therapy teams, made up of physiotherapists, occupational therapists and associate practitioners, put a plan together to get Michael from Trotterscliffe back on his feet, which included intensive one-to-one physio, sessions in the gym with panel bars, pull-ups, seated exercises and group therapy. During group physiotherapy, Michael joined fellow companions Robert Bob Woolley and Esme Rollo. Ex-Navy veteran and great-great-granddad Bob, 89, from Snodland, had fallen from bed reaching for something on his sideboard and hurt his wrist, while 90-year-old Esme had tumbled downstairs at home. Both needed to regain their strength to be independent at home again. Before discharge, Associate Practitioner Lewis Samaway's head visited Michael's home and made sure everything was in place for his safe return, including a perching stool and extension for the toilet so Michael didn't have to bend too far. He also had a follow-up physiotherapy session at Tunbridge within a week of being discharged to review and carry on his progress, and Tharman is arranging for some hydrotherapy to help. Michael said, "I'm coping well and I'm confident I'll be back in the garage any day now." Ask the experts. Why do you recover faster at home? Matron Anwyn Collard explains. If you are bedridden for long periods, you lose muscle tone. Studies show after 3 to 5 weeks of bed rest, almost half the normal strength of a muscle is lost. This affects your ability to move around, slowing down your recovery and your ability to carry out normal everyday tasks. Sleep is the body's time to rebuild, restore and rejuvenate. It's most important to have quality sleep when recovering from a serious injury or illness. Hospitals can be busy places with lots of interruptions, talking and noises from equipment which can cause long-term sleep deprivation and slow your recovery. So the faster you get back to your own bed, the better. You are at less risk of infection at home. When you are sick, you are likely to have reduced resistance to picking up bacterial or fungal infections. Being in familiar surroundings with support from loved ones, family and friends is one of the best things for your mental well-being.
Sharing is caring. When caring for children with complex needs and severe disabilities, you can understand why our nurses would be tempted to try to do everything. A new way of working which shares those valuable skills is proving that a collaboration between specialist nurses and teaching staff is providing a much better service, as Chloe Crouch discovered. When Sarah Jane Poole took on a new challenge as lead nurse for children's short breaks and residential schools in February 2015, she found a passionate and committed team, but one that was going beyond its remit and delivering a less effective service as a result. There was no doubt that both the nursing teams and schools had the children in their care at the heart of their work, said Sarah Jane, but they were facing similar issues to those facing services nationally. The role of nursing in special schools had not been well defined. As a result, well-meaning nurses did not have a clear framework to work towards when supporting children in their care. The nursing service that supports special schools is a small specialist service made up of paediatric nurses and needs to focus on making sure school staff can deal confidently and competently with the issues they're likely to come across. Our role is to train and educate school colleagues to meet the complex health needs of the children they look after. Far from being fazed by the challenges posed by her new responsibilities, Sarah Jane quickly began working on the issues and reinvented the service. She took a fresh look at the role of nurses based in a special school, the service they provided, and the support they received. One of the first things we wanted to look at was how medication was administered to children during school time, and who was the most appropriate person to administer it. The children spend the majority of their day with teachers and teaching assistants who know them very well. It was clear the best way forward was to empower school staff to provide this medicine so the children felt comfortable. Plus, it meant we were disrupting their education less as we did not need to keep going into the classroom. The old way of working had resulted in nurses taking responsibility for anything vaguely medical. We had put ourselves in a position where schools no longer had to be as involved with the child's clinical care. In reality, they know the children better than we do. There are more than 300 pupils at Five Acre Woods School in Maidstone, and a large number of students have seizures. If the only person who can deal with a seizure is the nurse, what happens when two children have a problem at the same time? Sarah Jane's solution was to focus on ensuring her team was empowering, supporting, and training staff throughout the school. The new way of working aims to make sure specialist nurses provide high-level training that prepares the school staff to deal confidently with any issue. She said, "We have worked together to share our skills so school staff feel empowered in every aspect of the children's care. Now we make sure staff have the right training. Pupils have an annual nursing needs assessment when they join the school. Children with complex health needs receive an annual update, and these influence our training plans and feed into the school's healthcare plan. This means our training is relevant and meets the individual needs of children. Nurses also carry out home visits and work with the school to make sure returning pupils' needs are updated if necessary." Natalie Chalmers, 5 Acre Woods phase lead for children with profound and multiple learning difficulties, said, "We work with highly complex and medically challenging young people. The training and in-depth support the nurses give us means we feel confident to properly support our children, and that's so important because it means they're able to thrive at school." Sarah Jane is now following up her success at 5 Acre Wood by implementing this care model into other special schools in West Kent. She said, "One of the key aspects is that colleagues feel supported and teams are working together, making sure the child is always at the centre of the care we provide. It's an approach that meets national guidelines and has won praise from the Royal College of Nursing. The training the nurses give us to support our children means they're able to thrive at school." Natalie Chalmers, 5 Acre Woods School.
I feel good. Spring is here and summer is on its way. The days are getting longer and hopefully warmer. It's a great time to think about how a combination of healthy eating and regular exercise can make us feel better in ourselves. It was goodbye to sugary snacks and hello to fabulous fruit for 39-year-old Ben Story, who lost a massive 8 stones in weight, 50 kilos, at our Fresh Start group. Just before Christmas 2015, Ben and Mum Mary from River in Dover knew that with a BMI of 62.3 and weighing 28 stones, 178 kilos, he needed to do something about his weight. They had been to see their GP shortly before. The news wasn't great, Mary said. The GP said to us, when Ben gets type 2 diabetes. It wasn't if, it was when. We were all terrified. In the June, we had heard that the UK's largest man, Carl Thompson, who also lived in Dover, died at only 33. Reports said that he started eating more after the death of his mum. I thought to myself, if something happened to me, that could be Ben. Ben has a learning disability and works with a care manager at Pathways in Dover, who told him and Mary about our NHS weight management fresh start groups running locally. Mary said, we were nervous to begin with. We didn't know what to expect. I remember saying to Ben, we'll go along and see what it's like, and if it's awful, we won't go again. Luckily, the sessions weren't awful, and Ben and Mary attended every week for 12 weeks. At first, I didn't think Ben was interested. It looked like he wasn't listening and was bored. But I was wrong. He took in every word. Since we started the group, he hasn't eaten any of the sugary snacks he used to, and he's much more active. Ben replaced some of his favourite treats, such as cakes, sweets, biscuits and pastries, with a lot more fruit and 3 regular healthy meals each day. Now when tea and biscuits are served at the day centre Ben attends, he refuses a biscuit and has fruit instead. Ben downloaded the Change for Life Sugar Swaps app, which includes a handy barcode reader they can use in the supermarket. We had a great time in the supermarket when we first started Fresh Start. Ben would go around with his app and zap the food that we were considering to check the sugar content to make sure we were making the right choices. He has also bought a Fitbit, monitoring how many steps he takes a day and how many minutes he is active for. It's the best thing I've got, said Ben. When Ben was bigger, he had sleep apnea, a condition where the muscles and soft tissues in the throat relax and collapse sufficiently to cause a total blockage of the airway. It's called an apnea when the airflow is blocked for 10 seconds or more. Mary said he couldn't sleep lying down and he had to sit up in a chair. Now he can breathe lying down again. He is happy to lie in bed playing with his iPad or listening to his music. It's lovely to see. As a reward for all of his hard work and for attending all of the sessions, Dover Leisure Centre gave Ben some free sessions so that he can continue to be active. Ben still has some way to go and would like to lose another 2 stones before his birthday in April. For more information about Fresh Start, go to www.oneukent.org.uk or phone 0300 123 1220. Email kcht.highcentraladmin@nhs.net. I feel good. It takes a brave woman to allow a qualified dietitian to analyse what she's eaten during the course of a day and for the results to be shared. But that is exactly what Julia Park let Addick Brillen, highly specialised obesity dietitian with our healthy weight team, do to see if her diet was all it should be. A day on a plate. Early morning, 6:30 a.m. 1 cup of tea and a tablespoon of skimmed milk. Breakfast, 7:30 a.m. 40 grams of porridge oats, 1/2 pint of skimmed milk, 1 tablespoon of honey and 1 banana. 9:30 a.m. 1 cup of coffee, 1 tablespoon of skimmed milk. Snack, 11 a.m. 1 cup of coffee, 1 tablespoon of skimmed milk and 1 banana. Lunch, 12:30 p.m. 1 jacket potato, 1 small tin of tuna, 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, 2 handfuls of salad, lettuce, cucumber, tomato, 2 tablespoons of margarine, 1 can of Diet Coke. Afternoon snack, 3:30 p.m. 1 apple, 1 cup of tea, 1 tablespoon of skimmed milk. Pre-run snack, 5:45 p.m. 1 Emmental and pumpkin seed cracker. Dinner, 8 p.m. 2 cups of prawns, 1/2 packet of stir-fry mixed vegetables, 1/2 packet of Singapore noodles, 3 tablespoons of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of olive oil for cooking. After dinner, 9:30 p.m. 1 cup of hot chocolate, 1 caramel wafer. 6 p.m. 6.5 km run, 7,500 steps. Drank approximately 2.5 litres of water.